Hello and welcome to the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as always, your host for the show. Security has always been an important conversation in IT, but according to Mark Collins, vice president of the partner organization for Cisco Canada, it has increasingly become the conversation, the single point around which architectures and ultimately solutions are based. What does this mean for solution providers as they think about their business moving forward? And what has the unprecedented shock of re-architecting businesses to be more distributed on the fly as a response to COVID-19 meant for the channel? Those are the big topics of today's conversation with Collins, who joins us again, this time to discuss IT security in the age of social distancing. We go over the offerings Cisco has in place to help partners make their customers, their employees, and their data more secure as we move to a more work-from-home environment. We discuss the opportunity partners have to help their customers re-architect for a security-centric network, both in the short term in triage mode and more strategically beyond that. And we discuss why partners who haven't historically thought of themselves as security specialists are going to have to think more that way than ever going forward. It's a fascinating conversation, so let's get right into it. My chat with Mark Collins. Mark, how are you? How are you doing?
I'm very well. How are you, Rob? It's good to hear from you again.
I'm well. Thanks for joining us for the podcast yet again. You're staying safe, both in terms of personal safety and health, and in terms of cybersecurity, I hope.
I am doing all of the above, Rob. what are we? I think this is week five of the new normal, which is no longer the new normal. It's just normal. And, like last time we talked, I'm grateful for all of those who are participating in helping flatten the curve together. So I know the message we talked about last time was keeping everyone safe, following the policies and flattening the curve. And sounds like we're making progress from what I see out there in Pressland. So we all need to keep at it, and we'll all get through this together in one piece.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As we shifted to work from home rather dramatically for a lot of organizations over the last month and a half, it's kind of put a finer point on security and the change of what security means in a work from home world. Maybe to open it up, can you kind of share maybe a little bit of an overview of the security strategy for Cisco and kind of how that applies to the suddenly work from home world that we find ourselves in?
Sure, happy to. And Rob, what I'd like to do is sort of come at it from a couple of different angles. And one is just in terms of, you know, the immediate situation at hand, and that is just about being there to help. And so you'll recall last time, just to restate, I mean, our immediate response, which we're continuing with, is to make sure that we have some key offers available at no charge through our eval program for our partners and customers to use around AMP, AnyConnect, and Duo to make sure that, you know, their connectivity and their data is fully secured. So we're staying the course with those offers. And since we've launched that, we're now securing over 15 million new users. So, I mean, that has been ramping dramatically. And those numbers, I mean, I think they're a reflection of that security is at the tip of the spear of this entire social surprise experiment that we're in the middle of. Being successful, no security, no success. So that is ramping very dramatically. And that's just, as I said, coming up from two perspectives. That's just about the being here to help. But the bigger strategy piece is it's kind of created a spike in a trajectory that was already happening, Rob. And that was, you know, between IT and OT and BYOD and all the various acronyms that we throw around. What does that all mean? It means a couple of things. Number one is we were already on a path where we were going from a world of billions of things connecting to the network to tens and hundreds of billions of things connecting to the network. So the need for scalable security solutions that can span all the different places and ways and things have connect has been at the heart of our strategy for a long time across our security portfolio. And the spike of late is the fact that all of those things have been connecting an environment where we're all doing it, or many of us doing it in traditional working model in terms of carpeted space, industrial space, external space, but each having their own domains. But having that all, you know, put in a bottle and shook up and changed around, i.e., how are all of the workers that are interacting with all these different things doing it, working from different places at different times, has created a, you know, a massive shift. And we're seeing that right now. And so we're now operating in an environment where workers could be working on their laptop, their desktop, from their phone, in their home, out for their daily walk, on different types of bandwidth, on different networks. So the ability to have a security portfolio that can be present across all of those different ways to connect to the network and consistently secure it, i.e. using our technologies like Umbrella, StealthWatch, that can understand where the data is moving and how to ensure that it's safe and that there's no anomalies occurring. That's been in our portfolio for a long time, is really shining right now because it's fundamental for all of this to continue functioning properly in this crazy situation we're in right now.
All right. So you touched on a few different tools there. I'm sure most partners are familiar with, if not all, then some of those. But can you kind of walk us through the roles that AMP, Connect, Duo, Umbrella, StealthWatch, these all play?
Well, I'd say sitting on top of those, and I'll back my way back into those a second,
sure.
In a second, is first and foremost the lifeline from the end user to the corporate structure is WebEx, mm-hmm. right? The ability to work any place, anytime with a high quality enterprise grade experience is WebEx, and WebEx comes secure out of the box. So the fact that we have the world's leading collaboration tool that allows for a rich media experience, and it shows up secure, set and ready to go to keep those meetings secure, ensure that data is encrypted in flight and at rest, ensure that the settings are preset so that all meetings are kept secure. It starts there. And then underneath that, that user is probably interacting with data and databases, local, global, in the cloud, on the prem of their corporate office environment. These technologies, they do a few things. One is if you look at something like an AMP, you've got the ability of a technology to understand that an asset is kept secure. And if the asset encounters any kind of security threat, it not only keeps that asset secure, but it also lets all the other assets that it can connect to know that there's a threat they need to be aware of and automatically updates them all to keep them all secure. In terms of the end user working in a zero trust environment, we've got Duo that allows all of end users to ensure that they're authenticating appropriately with two layers of security so that not only is the information kept secure, but we actually can authenticate it's really who we think it is at the other end of that connection, and that is so critical. And then we have Cisco Threat Response, which is a portal that allows us to go into a single pane of glass and look at the entire security asset base and understand the different threats that are showing up and be able to look at them simultaneously to lower the amount of energy it takes to identify a threat and lower the amount of noise in the environment so you can get a singular view of what's really going on out there without repetitions and duplications of threats all at once. And Rob, I mean, we only have so much time. I could go on for hours, but everything from the firewall to the endpoint and back again, it's all about understanding. Do you know who the user is? Are you able to secure the information that they're accessing?
Yeah.
Is the interface they're using secure? And is the data that's being transited, do you understand enough about the way the data should look and the nature of the distribution of that data? So anything that looks unusual, you can trap it, quarantine it, fix it, and get back to business. And our portfolio covers all of that.
All right. Let's get into sort of the partner opportunities that you see, and let's start maybe with sort of the right now stuff, which I guess is mostly around a lot of what you described in terms of making sure people are up and running and set up with maximized security to begin with.
Yeah, well, you know, Rob, I'd say a couple of things. And one of the things that we have in common with our partners that makes us so strong together is just a common set of values. And I would say that we've lived it firsthand, and us and our partners are both here to help our customers. So just that overarching goodwill and intent to cooperate and make sure that we're helping customers through this difficult time, I think it starts there. And from that, the most critical piece of all that our partners bring to the table is their depth of knowledge and understanding of their services and how their services meet the need that the customers have. All of these customers are all dealing with their own unique environments, their own nuances in their own industries. And our partners, they understand two things. Well, they understand lots of things, but two really critical things is they have a deep, deep understanding of our technology and how to activate and bring maximum use of our technology to our customers, but not just from an IT perspective in terms of what the different pieces of software and hardware actually do, but to get more specific, our partners also understand the industries that our customers in, whether they be creating virtual classrooms, virtual hospital spaces, virtual factory spaces. Our partners understand the industries that our customers in, so that it can not only help them solve some of the IT problems, but bring them inside to that line of business or that end user environment and be very, very specific around how the technology is deployed inside their companies to help them meet their business needs inside the actual business that they're in.
All right. And taking a little bit of a longer-term look, perhaps, at it, beyond kind of those early-day setup points, can you share some things that you think maybe partners can look at or should be looking at for their customers in terms of security? I'm thinking kind of beyond, once we get beyond the mad rush of getting everyone up and running, that sober second look, if you will, at, okay, so you spun up video conferencing solution X on your own in a hurry because you needed to meet a need. How can we address this in a more secure fashion going forward? Those sorts of issues.
Well, I mean, if you look at the question you're asking me, I think you're asking me how do we compare and contrast the short term versus the long term, and I think it goes from what are we doing right now in this response or here to help phase, and that's just about making sure that the technology is brought forward and deployed as rapidly as possible, so there's effectively no disruption to business. But I mean, that's being done in a very rapid fashion, Rob. And right now, it's just about speed and sustainability. I think as we go forward, everyone is asking the same question, and that is, when does recovery come? And I think with recovery comes also understanding, is the world going to look the same after this as it did before? And there's probably a major opportunity to harvest something positive from this, and that is for us to work with our partners, and there's probably some rethinking going on in terms of the way some of these architectures that our customers use, that we deliver and our technologies as architectures themselves, some ways that they can actually be rethought or redesigned to reflect what a post-COVID-19 world looks like, and ideas like the virtual enterprise, where if you look at your real estate assets that you have today, you look at your learnings from taking your workforce and have them all working from home, what does it look like when you more aggressively blur the lines of your enterprise capability between your office space and your home space? But then more significantly, Rob, tying that back to your question, is our partners working with us to do deeper and deeper strategy sessions with their customers? Is what does that security, that safe architecture look like when that becomes the permanent state of affairs? Mm-hmm. So it's no longer a triage exercise just to turn on connections and keep people working. But you're actually starting to take a much more mission-critical approach to having a distributed architecture, to having a virtualized enterprise, and how does the network get deployed in that structure? How is security policy developed? How are directory services deployed? So as your employees move around these different environments, the security SLA remains exactly the same no matter where they are.
The channel has proven itself remarkably flexible and adaptable over so many changes in technology and business and culture over the last few decades. This is another opportunity, I think, for them to do so again in a new way, perhaps.
Well, I think the opportunity is absolutely huge, because maybe this is true, maybe it isn't, but I don't think that it would be a surprise that some would suggest that there are some partners that are security specialized partners and other partners that focus on other technologies and don't necessarily make security a core focus. And I would say we are rapidly shifting towards a world where simply participating in this industry means you will have to think about security first. Agreed. Because something that we've prioritized as a company and our partners have and all will have to prioritize is security effect, basically being in everything, whether it be having Umbrella embedded in your SD-WAN service, whether it mean having encryption embedded in your collaboration tools, or whether it mean having your security policy be able to live in between your cloud and your on-prem environment and seamlessly operate in between the two. It is in everything, and it is critical in everything. So I think instead of security being an end conversation that partners may have had in the past, mm-hmm. security now is the conversation that we start with, and then we build the infrastructure underneath or around that. But security is the heart and soul of it, because if it's not secure, it's not mission critical. And distributed architectures, we're now living in a world where distributed architectures are the de facto operating model and probably become much more so in the recovery simply because of the learnings we're going to take away.
Yeah, I think so. And that's a trend, you know, we've seen in the channel over a few years now, and I think you're right to suggest that it's only going to be accelerated.
Absolutely, 100%.
All right, appreciate your taking the time to chat. Stay safe, be well, and I'm sure we shall talk again soon.
I look forward to it, Rob, and just like you said, everyone out there, just encourage everyone to follow the policies, follow the plan. Let's keep the social distancing going. Let's flatten the curve. Let's stay safe. And like I said last time, keep calm and WebEx on.
It's become the mantra.
All right, Rob.
Cheers. So there you have it. A look at Cisco Canada's security strategy in the COVID-19 and post-COVID-19 world, courtesy of Mark Collins. I'd like to thank Mark for joining us for the podcast, thank Cisco for its continuing support of the site, and of course, thank you for listening. If security is the conversation in IT right now and going forward, then perhaps one of the biggest underpinnings of that conversation is how are you going to pay for that? With that in mind, on Thursday we'll be back on the podcast talking to Stacey Carter, Chief Financial Executive at Ingram Micro Canada. Stacey will discuss why financing flexibility is increasingly one of the distributor's mantras, the new programs it has in place to help partners and their customers they serve deal with cash flow challenges that could be an impediment to getting the technology they need to keep their businesses going. Until then, I'd invite you to subscribe to the podcast on either Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode. Then, we'll see you on Thursday. Thanks for listening. Be safe out there.